First Coast Connect with Melissa Ross is sponsored in part by Baptist Health.
Pain at the gas pump gets political this holiday. Good morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. And just ahead this hour, what higher gas prices mean for Florida as we head into Thanksgiving and beyond. Are you traveling this holiday? Are you filling up? Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Then later, it's your chance to help the needy this festive season as WJCT marks our 19th annual Mr. Rogers Sweater Drive. We'll tell you all about it, all of that and more just ahead. But first this hour, are you hitting the road this week? Well, as Thanksgiving and Hanukkah and Christmas near, it's not uncommon for consumers to grouse about those gas prices. It's pretty much as normal a holiday tradition as Hallmark movies. But this year, the story is a bit different. Gas prices have spiked in the last 12 months as life has returned to something closer to normal pre-COVID and travel picks up. Now, a couple of things to tell you about. Just this morning, President Joe Biden announced he's releasing 50 million barrels of oil from the nation's emergency stockpile to lower energy costs amid a recent spike in gas prices and inflation. Also, Governor DeSantis came to Jacksonville Monday and said he wants to zero out the state's gas tax for 6 months and deliver tax relief at the pump. He made the announcement inside a Daly's convenience store in our area. Now, speaking of paying at the pump, let's not forget the Jacksonville City Council recently approved a 6 cent per gallon gas tax hike to fund a slew of initiatives. David Barreline of the Florida Times Union has been writing about all this, and he's on the line. Hey, David, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's always good to talk to you. Okay, folks, what's your holiday travel plan this week? Are you annoyed by high gas prices? Are you seeing different prices in different regions? Give us a call, 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax. Already getting those tweets. Well, David, we hear about this every year, but pain at the pump has really become a political issue this season, so much so that the White House just this morning says they're going to release some oil from the nation's emergency stockpile to ease the crisis.
Yeah, and that probably will have some impact, not immediate, but as there's more supply that will meet the rising demand that's happened as the economy's really gotten back on its feet and heated back up. So it's going to work through the system. It could have some impact, but really I think the analysis I've seen is that until the big, real big oil-producing companies go back to the pre-pandemic levels of production, you're going to continue to have a higher prices for the cost of a barrel of oil. That's going to mean higher prices at the pump. And we're certainly seeing that every time we fill up a car, it's kind of a little bit of a double take, especially when it's so much higher than it was just a year ago.
Right. As you write in today's paper, the average price of a gallon of gas is over $3 and a little higher in Duval County. And that's due to the gas tax that Mayor Curry and the city council approved. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I was looking at AAA. The current average in Jacksonville for a gallon of regular is $3.33 per gallon, and it was $1.98 a year ago. So there you have it. That's a huge increase in terms of what people are paying. It was probably low a year ago. Now it's on the high side compared to historical averages. And really, that's has not yet been impacted by the gas tax increase that the Mayor Curry and City Council approved, because that takes effect January 1st. And then when that comes into play, then obviously you're going to see that kind of affect gas prices to some degree. But the main thing, I think, is just, the economy's gotten better. More people are out there traveling. More people are demanding, using the greater demand for fuel. And the production is not where it was before the pandemic hit. So that's the mismatch that everybody talks about, this supply and demand that's driving the higher price at the pump.
Yeah. Of course, Governor DeSantis never misses an opportunity to ratchet up his fight with the White House on any number of issues. He appeared in Jacksonville Monday and said he's going to provide relief for Floridians, a gas tax holiday. He wants to zero out the state's gas tax for 6 months. At the same time, as you pointed out, David, a U.S. president really does have limited control over gas prices. They're primarily driven by the actions of a legal cartel, OPEC. Listeners are tweeting that to the show right now. But what did you make of the governor's announcement?
So it still has to get through the legislature. It's a lot of money, over $1 billion, that obviously would be not available for transportation projects, but would be basically tax relief for motorists whenever they go and fill up at the pump. He wants to do it for 6 months. The legislature meets starting in January, so let's say it gets approved, and there'd be a six-month period. A cynical person would say that six-month period is probably going to run through next November's election in 2022, rather than having it where you have like a 25-cent drop in the tax price, and then just before the election it goes away and you're back up to higher prices. So I would think it's probably going to take effect probably sometime early summer, maybe run through the end of the year. Who knows what the gas price is going to be then, right? Maybe the, quote, crisis is gone by then and demands, the supply is meet demands, and we're not faced with these high gas prices. But that's the, at least at this point, the symbolic message he delivered yesterday in Jacksonville, which is he hears the concerns and he's going to take action at the state level to get gas prices down.
549-2937. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with the Times Union's David Bauerlein about high prices at the pump. Are you headed out to have Thanksgiving dinner with family? Are you filling up the car or SUV this week? Traveling maybe? Give us a call, 549-2937. Mitchell in Palatka. Hey, Mitchell. How are you?
Yeah, I actually like high prices of gasoline, and I think we need a...
Why? Why do you like them?
Well, it keeps the trespassers away from my area with their four-wheelers, for one thing.
Okay.
And and another thing is I think we need about a $2 a gallon tax on gasoline to help start paying off the national debt. I think that would start making some real, real inroads onto the national debt problem.
I'm not sure how that would work, but I appreciate the call, Mitchell, and have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. All righty. 549-2937, Eric in Arlington. Hi, Eric.
Good morning, Melissa. I agree with the previous caller. High gas prices are good for a lot of reasons. Less smog, less wear and tear on the roads and system, fewer fatalities, and of course it's better for, lessens the troubles caused by climate change. So I think that we're once again, Governor DeSantis is looking backwards. He's providing, and so is Joe Biden at this point, that they're providing solutions to this problem, which exacerbate other problems to the extent that we're actually just making things worse. Gas prices ought to be $10 a gallon. If gas prices were $10 a gallon, you'd see people walking, you'd see them riding their bikes, you'd see people changing zoning laws so that you could have neighborhoods, walkable neighborhoods where they can get to the store and so on without having a car. And I think the only way to force Americans out of their cars is to jack up the price of gas to the point where it's unaffordable. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Okay, so he brings up both of those callers, David, bring up the longer term question, which is that we do have to wean ourselves off fossil fuels. Easier said than done. You know, just the other day we did a segment on this show. You can read the story at our magazine, adaptflorida.org. We're getting more electric vehicle charging stations in Florida under the passage of the infrastructure bill. But only 1% of us even drive electric or hybrid vehicles. And until more incentives can be created for folks to make that switch, this transition is going to be slow and painful, David.
Yeah, I've heard the argument, too, that if you're looking for ways to reduce the emissions, then higher gas prices can be something that intentionally or unintentionally will help that, because obviously if you're paying twice as much at the pump and you go buy a new car, maybe you're thinking, well, I'm going to pay a lot more attention to what the miles per gallon is and buy a much more fuel-efficient car. You know, you double your fuel efficiency, then, yeah, if gas prices double, you're still in the same spot in terms of what the actual hit is in your pocketbook. So there's an argument to be made that a lot of the technological advancements, because they are more costly than just what we're used to in terms of the usual technology to run our automobiles, becomes more attractive or cost effective when the price of gas is higher, because then it makes it more of a winning argument to invest upfront in that higher cost in order to get the money back through savings on your gas tax, your gas bill.
549-2937. Give us a call. Nick in Mandarin. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks. I was going to say it's strange how DeSantis can call a special session to deal with COVID, but can't call a special session to deal with the gas tax.
So. Yeah, thank you for that. Of course, that special session was a political move. Here's a tweet from Susan. The governor says the state has plenty of money. Why not expand Medicaid? So we're going off into some very interesting areas here on social media. But, you know, David, let's bring it back to the numbers you get into in your story. I did not realize this until I read your piece in the Florida Times Union. Florida has one of the highest overall gas tax rates in the nation. And so we tend to think of Florida as a low tax state, a more affordable state. But I was not aware of that little piece of our economic pie until you reported it. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it is one of the highest gas taxes in the country. And there's three components to it. There's the federal gas tax, which is the same everywhere. That's about 18 cents per gallon. And then Florida's state gas tax, and this is controlled by the state legislature in terms of state laws, that's about 26 cents per gallon. And then there's the local option, which can go up as high as 12 cents, which is where the city is going to be headed as of January 1st. And the state has an interesting gas tax in that it automatically adjusts every year based on cost of living increases or some sort of an adjustment there. So every year it's going up a small amount, and it's been going up for years and years. And that's a reason why the state gas tax is actually higher than the federal gas tax, which stays the same unless it's ever affected. Now, you know, you can argue that Florida benefits from that high gas tax. I know that when I used to drive back and forth from my old home in Texas from Florida, you knew when you were in Florida, the roads were just in better shape. Mm. And you knew when you were in Mississippi because the roads were in a lot worse shape.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's something to be said for the maintenance of the roads. And obviously it helps Florida be attractive to tourists. They're coming down. They got good roads to drive on. You know, so there's, you know, it's kind of a get what you pay for thing. But it is a high gas tax. It's one of the highest in the country. And it's going to get a little bit higher as of January 1st, because obviously the local gas tax is going up by 6 cents. And then whatever adjustments there are to the state gas tax, that's going up. So it's one of those costs where you would think, oh, it's Florida, it must be a low-tax state. But cell phones are another thing where there's high taxes on Florida and cell phones. So we don't have an income tax, but the government gets its money
another
way.
They get you another way.
That's one of them.
That's right.
And, you know, Melissa, the previous caller had a point about the special session. And mm-hmm. Charlie Crist, who's running for the Democratic nomination, made that same point yesterday. He was saying, hey, if this was such a big, urgent need, how come the governor didn't put it on the agenda for the special session they just had rather than waiting till the regular session? And you're not going to have anything in effect for months and months. So, it's an interesting argument, and it's definitely already heating up on the campaign trail for the governor's candidates for sure.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about high gas prices heading into the Thanksgiving holiday and efforts to bring them down both at the state and federal levels. Give us a call, folks, 549-2937. Glenn in Mandarin. Hi, Glenn.
Hi. You there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I think you're not quite giving the full story, because when you say a president does not have effect on your energy prices, that's not correct, because a president with his decision or the party's decisions has a direct effect on what you're going to pay for your energy prices. For example, the previous administration opened up your oil fields and whatnot, and the prices were low. Now that these policies of shutting down all these pipelines and energy sources, it directly affects the price that we pay at the pump and oil for heating and anything else that has to do with energy.
Thanks, Glenn. David Barreline, let's talk about this. How much any president can impact oil and gas, that market. Certainly, whoever's in office when the prices go up and energy prices go up gets the blame. But at the same time, we do need to be fact-based about really the few options any chief executive has when it comes to curbing the cost of gas. There's a few things they can do. Can you talk about this? Because they are limited in what they can do.
Yeah, it's a global market. I mean, obviously, United States motorists are driving on oil that comes from across the globe. So there's a lot of factors in play in there. I look to AAA for its analysis, because they really follow this stuff closely. And their take on it is that you have a situation where the big oil-producing countries have not yet ramped up their production to the way they were before the pandemic hit. And as a result of that, we have a mismatch where you have a post-pandemic slowed down the economy for a long time. Now it's revving back up, and the oil production is not keeping pace with that. So it's a supply-demand issue, and that goes beyond a pipeline. I'm not totally familiar with that caller's question, although I've heard some talk about, you know, there might be a pipeline that's closing, which I think is natural gas, not crude oil, which is what's used for gasoline. That's where things stand, is that you have a global supply, global demand, and every country in the world is facing the same issue where they have higher gas prices because there's a mismatch between the amount of global supply for oil, which we use for our gasoline, and the demand for it, so prices are higher as a result.
549-2937, Michael in Jacksonville. Hi, Michael, what are your thoughts?
Hey, how are you doing?
All right.
Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure can.
Okay. One of the things that the media keeps talking about and people keep pushing is electric cars and battery-operated cars, but no one's really looked at the environmental impact that producing batteries and finding a way to, and what it causes. What I wanted to mention that's not on the horizon of anybody's radar is synthetic fuel. Porsche right now has got fuel in full production for their racing team coming in 2022. It's a synthetic fuel that has a less of environmental impact than battery-operated cars. I think within the next 5 to 10 years, if they're allowed to continue with that technology, and, you know, Big Oil or other manufacturers that have an interest in electric cars don't try to quash that technology, this will be the solution to the future. Because it has less environmental impact than batteries, and the emission of it is primarily water after it burns.
I hadn't heard anything about this, but I will definitely get into that later, Michael, and I appreciate you calling. Interesting. And, of course, let me make another opportunity here to plug our digital magazine, adaptflorida.org, where we talk about energy and adaptation here in the state of Florida. John in St. Augustine. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi, Melissa.
Hey, good morning.
I monitor my gas consumption very carefully as I drive, try to maximize the miles per gallon, and I get pretty good when I watch it and drive within speed limit, but maximize the gas mileage. The question I have noticed recently that my car says that I have used less gallons than what the gas pump says when I fill up. Who is auditing those gas pumps, or Is this something even relevant to this discussion?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that one, John, but we're getting a lot of interesting feedback on the phone lines. David Bauerline.
Yeah, my understanding is that it's done by the State Department of Agriculture, mm-hmm. and they go and they do these spot checks where they go and just check the pumps, check the prices, check to make sure the pumps are accurate. And so it's a kind of a routine inspection that happens on a fairly regular basis so that they can find out if somebody's claiming that they're selling you a gallon and they're actually shortchanging you on that gallon but charging you the price for a gallon. And that's the process that's used. I remember there was like a scandal up in Georgia a few years ago where there was some company up there that really had low rates, low prices for a gallon of gas, but it turned out they were they weren't selling you a gallon of gas, so that's how they did it.
Yeah, people.
But it is regular check by the state.
People forget it's the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, and of course Nikki Fried, the only statewide elected Democrat and the state's Commissioner of Agriculture, she's been criticizing the governor for his move on a gas tax holiday, along with Charlie Crist, as you mentioned. But even looking beyond Florida, David, I saw this story. It's really interesting. Yes, gas prices are higher than average right now, but it's the perception of the prices that matters so much to voters. And if you live in a more rural, conservative area, you tend to maybe identify as a Republican more often. Maybe you tend to drive a bigger vehicle that doesn't have good gas mileage. And maybe if you live in a rural area, you've got to drive a longer distance to get where you need to go. So you might be a little more angry about it than, say, if you lived in a dense urban area and you don't need to drive lots of miles every day to go about your routine. So a lot of this is being driven by political perceptions and the kind of lifestyle you lead.
Yes, I think those are all really good points. There's a difference in terms of the rural space versus an urban environment in terms of how far and how much people drive. And also, I think, you know, we live in a time right now where consumer prices across the board are going up. You know, it costs more for the gallon of milk. You know, obviously, it was cost more for that Thanksgiving turkey this week. And so then you're sort of seeing these prices go up, and then you go to the pump, and there the change is even more dramatic than what you're seeing at the supermarket. You know, you're paying less than $2 a year ago. Now you're paying $3.30. And you know, I know a year ago it was kind of like you'd fill up and go, wow, that's all? Did I actually do a fill up? You know, and now mm-hmm. it's like just the opposite. You're like, holy cow, I'm not going to be eating out tonight because of the cost of that fill-up I just put into the car. So it's sort of this punctuation mark on something that's happening in a lot of different areas in terms of our paying just more for daily household essentials, consumer items at the supermarket and at the gas station,
absolutely,
at the clothing store, all and on.
Hey, David, do you remember your first car and what you paid to fill it up? I remember. The first car I ever drove was a Ford Escort, and it was, you know, this small little cheap car that I bought used, but I was so excited to have a car. And, you know, I think I paid $10 a gallon usually to fill it up. When I was 16, 17 years old, and I paid for it with my princely wages from the McDonald's drive-thru, the Kaufman Avenue branch of McDonald's in Fairborn, Ohio. We had two McDonald's in our town, and I worked at the better one. And, you know, I made $3 an hour, but it was enough for gas money in high school when it was $10 a gallon. And so, you know, as you pointed out, as things get more expensive and people have those kinds of memories of what things used to cost, they get frustrated. But we are subject, as you said, to these global market forces.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm sure, you know, I guess probably it would have been less than a dollar a gallon probably back in those days. And so now it's gone up quite a bit, although I think adjusted for inflation is probably not as bad. It's just the gas goes up and down so often that it really does catch our attention. And then you have, you know, people who are like scouring different sites to find the cheapest gas within a 5-mile radius. And, you know, the old joke, people used to drive so much looking for the lowest gas price, they ended up burning up whatever savings
exactly.
they got by the time they finally got to it. But it's, it's almost a religion to see where can I get the lowest gas price and, and what other consumer
or go to Gas Buddy. You can check
letters
it
on the roadside.
You can always look at GasBuddy.com, right?
Exactly. There you go. So that's probably the fastest way. You know, if you're really looking to save some money, yeah, you can wait for the petroleum reserves to get released or wait for a gas tax cut by the governor and the legislature. But shopping around and being an informed consumer is probably the best way to do it these days.
Cody on the South Side. Hi, Cody. Good morning. Go ahead.
Hey there. How are you all doing?
We're great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So just about, you guys said expensive turkey this year. I paid $6 at Publix for a $14 pound turkey. And if you look historically at just the way that inflation is normally gone, bond yields are the best indicator. And before 1970, that great inflation, bonds foresaw that. And this we've had plenty of CPI shocks, and this is much more like in the early 1950s and the supply shock that came with the Korean War. So I think this is just a temporary thing that's brought on by COVID, and the cure for high prices is high prices. And people aren't going to be willing to pay $7 for a gallon of gas. You know, they're going to resort to other measures, and then that will bring the prices down. We might go through a recession, but ultimately it will correct, and this is not an inflation scenario at all.
Thank you, Cody. Thanks, everyone, for your thoughts. And so, David Bauerlein, as people hit the road, they do need to budget for a little more this year.
They will indeed. Have your gas buddy, maybe it pays to go to the next exit and see what you can find there for a little cheaper price.
And did I say 10 bucks a gallon? That's not what I said. I meant to say
you
10
did.
Bucks.
10 bucks to fill up, right?
Good God. I meant 10 bucks to fill up. Thank you for the person that tweeted me. Yes, I meant 10 bucks to fill up the entire tank. So David Bauerlein of the Florida Times Union, thank you so much and happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving as well.
Take All care. Right, and much more still ahead later. We've got some tasty ideas for your holiday table from Edible Northeast Florida. That's later, but up next.
When we go out there, me and my senior team go out and help allocate or hand out some of the coats and scarves and things like that, it's just amazing to see the impact.
How you can add to the pile, it's growing, in this year's Mr. Rogers Sweater Drive. That's coming up. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Well, WJCT Public Media is partnering with Vistar Credit Union, Suddeth, and the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships to present the 19th annual Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Sweater Drive to collect new and gently used sweaters, jackets, and blankets. And we're doing this through November 30th. We're going to donate these items across the region to nonprofit organizations located in Duval, Clay, Nassau, and St. John's counties. Now, WJCT is one of many public media organizations across the country that celebrates this event in honor of the late Fred Rogers, host of the iconic television show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which, of course, aired on public television. In 2020, the Sweater Drive collected and distributed more than 20,000 cold weather essentials for First Coast residents. I talked about our beloved annual tradition with one of the sponsors, Brian Wolfberg. He's CEO of Vistar Credit Union. Hi, Brian. Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me in again.
It's great to have you and talk about one of the most popular things we do at WJCT every year. This is our 19th annual Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Sweater Drive, and we're so pleased that Vistar Credit Union is partnering up with us on this because it is a holiday tradition and it helps a lot of people.
Yeah, we have been excited to be part of this tradition for almost the entire time it's been going. I think this is our 16th or 17th year participating by taking donations in our branches. And you're absolutely correct. When we go out there, me and my senior team go out and help allocate or hand out some of the coats and scarves mm-hmm. and things like that, it's just amazing to see the impact.
Really is. And we'll mention this again in a few moments, but it's easy for people to do their part because we're collecting new and gently used sweaters, blankets, and jackets. And then we're going to donate them across Duval, Clay, Nassau, and St. John's counties. And, you know, we're in Florida, but it does get cold enough here that we need to make sure people have those items.
There are absolutely nights, if you think about being out on the street or not having a place to go home to, that you are going to need a coat or a warm blanket. It's just amazing to see our people in the community come together and provide those for people in need.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that it's called the Mr. Rogers Sweater Drive, I think, is really special for a lot of people because we all have memories of watching Fred Rogers in his cardigan sweaters, and it's just a really nice association, I think, with public television and with just a kind-hearted person.
Yeah, it's been great to have you guys lead this each and every year, as you mentioned, the association there with public television, but then bringing it home to our community, his values impacting our community. Being a part of that as ViStar with our purpose of doing good is really important to us.
Now, you're still relatively new at ViStar, but you've really made a mark already in terms of all of the community and philanthropic initiatives that you are leading. And this kind of goes along with that, I think.
Yeah, this is something, as I said earlier, that we've been doing for many years. We have continued to increase our giving and our community engagement. It's part of who we are and what we do. We are of and by the members of this community, started here, grown because of the love by the community for our organization. And so if we find ways that we can give back, we are all in and we lean in and engage. And that's why we're collecting the sweaters, the jackets, any of the other cold essentials, cold weather essentials at all of our branches across Duval and Clay and Nassau and St. John's.
And you don't have to be a ViStar Credit Union customer, right? You can just come into any location. You can also come here to WJCT or to a Tom Bush dealership and just drop some items off.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone can come in and make a donation. Anyone that's willing to have a positive impact on the community is always welcome at ViStar.
Okay, well, I so appreciate you coming into the building to talk about this. Kind of exciting. We haven't had a lot of in-studio guests over the last almost 2 years. So it's good to see your smiling face, Brian, and talk about our Mr. Rogers Sweater Drive. Can't believe it's almost 20 years of this now. And it's happening now. So just drop off those gently used sweaters, jackets, blankets, and any cold weather items like that here at WJCT at any ViStar location or at any Tom Bush dealership. Sudeth also sponsoring to help us move the merch around. And so Brian Wolfberg, President, CEO of ViStar Credit Union, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, do you need some last-minute ideas or inspiration for your Thanksgiving table? If so, you are in luck. Edible Northeast Florida is on newsstands now with ideas to create a seasonal table using local seasonal produce. Editor Lauren Titus is on the line. Hey, Lauren, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good to talk to you. And I am such a believer in eating with the seasons, buying produce with the seasons, and so your issue is right on time. Tell us what's inside the pages of a seasonal table.
Yeah, so this is our holiday issue, and we always like to go big with recipes during during this time of year because, let's face it, folks are in the kitchen or they're going to gatherings, and so we're always excited about being able to eat local at this time of year. A seasonal table is a nod to both the holidays as well as what's in season this time of year. And as the days cool off, the produce comes back to the market. And it's really exciting to see the variety, the cornucopia of produce that we'll find at local farmers markets. This year, we focused on side dishes. We're moving them to the center of the table, along with our locally grown turkeys and cuts of beef and pork. We're really putting the spotlight on all those wonderful side dishes that you can have such a variety of on your holiday table.
Well, that's what Thanksgiving's all about, let's face it. It's all
exactly.
about the sides. Okay, and
exactly.
So you've got some great recipe ideas both in the physical magazine and online. People might not realize just how much local produce is grown in our area. Collards, kale, sweet potatoes, turnips, winter squash, all available at local farmers markets. You know, there are so many great places to shop local. People might not realize that, Lauren, when they're in the habit of just going to the grocery store.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a great supply of local farmers who are back at the markets these days. We've got Ben Wells and Frog Song down in St. Augustine. We've got Down to Earth and Abundant Harvest at Ram, a bunch of different ones at the Beaches Market. And they're all excited about returning and having their beautiful produce available for gatherings this year. And last year, because it was such an odd holiday season and people were so hesitant to gather, we're imagining that folks are going to be vaxxed up and ready to eat with others. Mm-hmm. We've got a great selection of recipes for sweet potatoes. You might think that there's nothing new to do with sweet potatoes, but Farmer Brian at Down to Earth is going to prove you wrong with his spicy cilantro lime sweet potato casserole, which unfortunately...
That does sound interesting.
I had to taste everything for the photo shoot for this issue, and I can personally attest that everything is as delicious.
What a tough job you have.
I know.
Oh, and people need to pick up their edible because the images are just gorgeous. But there's more in this issue. You even have ideas for holiday brunch, how to create the perfect day drinking celebration, which sounds nice for this season. Even had a host a cookie swap. You've got a gift guide in here. Tell us about all of this.
Yeah, so the gift guide, it's our annual gift guide, and it's really a way that we can shine a light on the marvelous makers and food producers in our area. We've got, you know, this Saturday, this weekend is Shop Small Business, and pick up a copy of the magazine or go online to find out different businesses you can support right in our area. You can either go to them physically or you can order things online and make sure you do that soon so you don't have any supply chain disruptions or shipping disruptions.
Now, can you talk a little bit, too, for those listening that want to eat a purely plant-based diet at Thanksgiving? That's a small group, but they are out there.
It's actually one of the easiest things to do at this time of year. All of the recipes, except for one that has some bacon fat in the streusel on top of the cream kale, but all of the others are completely plant-based, and you'll find that you will not leave the table hungry. We even have a plant-based baked goodie for your brunch table, or you could have it as a dessert at your holiday gathering. The pumpkin chocolate chip muffins. Which, again, I had to make them for the photo shoot, and they are quite tasty.
Wow. Now, what is the most surprising thing that you've learned about the local food scene in the time that you've been editing Edible, Lauren?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess it's the newcomers are always asking us about the time of year to grow things, and many people are really surprised that from October through March is really the height of our production from the farms. It's quite the opposite of what many people find throughout the rest of the country. And it's really exciting to find such a vibrant array of produce, of fruits and vegetables at the markets in the middle of winter.
Hmm, that's nice. Now, let's also mention that you can pick up edible on newsstands across the community. It's free. Or people can download a lot of these recipe ideas from your website as well, yes?
Absolutely, yes. And people can also subscribe if they want to get the magazine delivered straight to their mailbox. We're happy to set up a subscription service for them.
That's cool. Now, earlier in the show, we were talking about the price of things, inflation affecting the price of maybe the turkey you buy or other produce or other things that you add to your grocery list. Are you hearing from people in the community about that as they plan their holiday meals?
Well, one good thing about buying local is you are accustomed to paying the real cost for food, and you might not notice the increase so much as you would in the grocery store when you're buying canned products and you know, pre-made products. So I think people will find that the price of this holiday gathering won't be much more if they can focus more on buying local products.
That's a great idea. Now, is that what you're planning on doing? What is on your Thanksgiving menu, Lauren Titus?
Well, I've already got my butternut squash ready to be cut up and turned into soup. I've got some peas that are on their way from front porch pickings. And I've got some sweet potatoes ready to turn into that cilantro lime spicy casserole. And a couple of other things that I don't want to spoil a surprise for the folks at my table.
Are you doing any shortcuts? Let me give a shout out. I've been doing this lately. I get my pies from 1748 Bakehouse in Springfield on Main Street because they do the best pies around and they are very busy at Thanksgiving. So I'll be picking my pies up tomorrow instead of making them this year. I feel a little guilty about that, but hey, shortcuts are good.
Absolutely, especially when we have such high-quality bakers like 1748 Bakehouse, Community Loaves, and some others mm-hmm. in the area. I'm all for doing those shortcuts and focusing on what you really want to be spending your time on, which mainly is just celebrating the holidays with the people we love at the table.
That's right. So pick up edible either online or at newsstands. Get some ideas for a local seasonal table. Editor Lauren Titus, have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Happy Thanksgiving.
And in a moment, Duval's Untold Stories are coming to the Florida Theater stage this weekend. We'll have a preview from guest artistic director Barbara Colicello. That's next. We are right back. Don't go away.
Next time on The World, how Beatlemania took root in Argentina. It was way more than mop tops and electric guitars. Under military rule, young musicians there were inspired by the Beatles to question authority and to sing out.
They provided great service to humankind by leading us through these changes that were happening in the world.
The Beatles and the birth of El Rock Argentino, it's on The World.
This afternoon at 3, here on WJCT News 89.9.
Robin Young. The Beatles have been experiencing yet another comeback with a new book of lyrics from Paul McCartney and a six-hour version of the making of the Let It Be album from Oscar-winning director Peter Jackson. We'll take a listen next time here and now.
Today at 2 on WJCT News 89.9.
Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness,
I'm impressed with my attorney, Bernie.
On the next Fresh Air, our tribute to Dave Frischberg. He died last Wednesday at 88. He was known for satirical songs like I'm Hip and My Attorney, Bernie, ballads like Heart's Desire, and schoolhouse rock songs like I'm Just a Bill. We'll listen back to his interviews and performances on our show. Join us.
Today at noon on WJCT News 89.9. With the way he runs the store.
Time's running out for thousands of businesses across the country. By the start of the new year, they'll need to have their workers vaccinated, but some states are pushing back. Can vaccine mandates stand up to legal scrutiny? And do they risk putting a further strain on the nation's worker shortage? That story next time on 1A.
Today, starting at 10 on WJCT News 89.9.
Welcome back. It's called Untold Stories, a live performance series featuring personal and transformative tales told by a diverse range of voices connected to this region. From artists and entrepreneurs to educators and medical professionals, we all carry memories and stories shaped by our environment. Untold Stories honors the tradition of oral storytelling in a modern context. And these stories are deeply wedded to the place we all call home. Barbara Colicello is the guest artistic director of the first season of Untold Stories, taking the stage this Saturday night at the Florida Theater. She's on the line with the preview. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. This sounds like a really great show to go see after Thanksgiving. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. The storytellers, and we just had a dress rehearsal last night, really are shaping their story. Rather than tell them, they're bringing us to places that where they lived and to moments that they remember that influenced their lives and perhaps changed something in their life. It's very intimate and personal, revelatory. Storytelling to me is one of the most powerful things we could do with one another, but live makes a difference.
How did the idea for this come together? Was this something you created?
Well, I actually was doing story slams at Babs Lab the past 3 years, inviting people, giving them a theme, and inviting people to tell a story. And Florida Theater heard about a great storytelling event in Alaska through our sponsors, who is the Wolfsburg family. And they were telling him how all these people gathered in this big venue to listen to story. And he got excited about that idea. And even though normally Florida Theater doesn't produce their own events, this was something that Numa Cecilin really thought, wow, wouldn't that be great if we had people come and talk about Jacksonville stories from all different neighborhoods, bring community together. And he found out that that's kind of what I was doing in my space, and we started having conversations about it, and I got really excited.
Yeah, and how did you pick the performers? Who's on stage?
Well, some of the storytellers are people that actually have been honing their craft at Babs Lab, so I knew that this is something that they'd love to do. Other people, I've seen them in stages. I was talking to them at an art opening, and I'm watching them gesture and hearing their passion. And I thought, oh, he's a really good storyteller. And I would ask them on the spot, hey, you want to tell a story at the Florida Theater? This is what we're doing. So it's been pretty an organic process. Some of the storytellers, like we have Kedgar Volta, who's a Cuban immigrant, and sharing his story about having to conquer a very challenged project that he created, and Zanetta Marie, who's an actress, and she revealed what it was like to grow up and find out something that really kind of brought her into an identity crisis. All of the stories are not, I think, been shared. They haven't really, the storytellers haven't ever really sat down to think about the whole entire story. So the trigger, the theme this time was ebbs and flow. And when they heard that theme, they started thinking about, well, what, how, where did that occur? You know, that there was ebbs and flow in my life.
And this is the first of a series, right? This kickoff on Saturday night.
Yes. And you can buy all four, you know, get a discount, buy all four series. But the next one's February 12th. That theme is Out of the Swamp. We chose themes based on, I was thinking about the St. John's River and just started thinking about how we could use that as a metaphor for all of our themes. So we also have, There and Back Again, and the last one is...
It'll come to you. It's one of those days where we're all just ready to go eat some turkey and stuffing and and not think about work.
Fish out of water. Fish out of water.
Okay. So with all of that said, tickets available for this Saturday night show at the Florida Theater website, correct?
Yes. Yes. Under Untold Stories, it's all there. And we're excited. People are buying tickets. And I think it's a great thing to do if you have company from out of town and they get to see the Florida Theater.
Yeah.
Which I think is a fantastic background for this sort of thing.
You know,
it's such a storied building.
It is. And, you know, I did an event there a week or so ago with Stacey Abrams. And I've been fortunate enough to step on that stage a number of times to do events. And every time I go out and I stand on those boards, I think about who has performed on that stage, like Elvis, you know, Elvis
exactly.
performed on that stage and so many other incredible people. So it is a special place. And I always think about that when I'm lucky enough to do an event over there. It's beautiful. So get your tickets now for Untold Stories, a live performance series featuring local voices. Guest artistic director Barbara Colicello is overseeing Untold Stories in its inaugural season show Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Florida Theater. Have fun, Barbara. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
And make sure to subscribe to Jax Today. It's our new daily newsletter bringing you up to date on everything happening around the region. Go to jaxtoday.org. I'm Melissa Ross. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.